What do you think of when you think of waiting? I remember being a child and waiting for summer to come, waiting for dinner to be ready, waiting for my birthday. I seem to remember that waiting like that felt boring, right? Really boring. It felt like nothing was happening or would be happening until the thing I was waiting for arrived. What we're being invited into in Advent is a very different sort of waiting. It can have a very different feel. We are doing something as we wait. We are preparing. Preparing for Christmas in many ways, both practical and spiritual. We need to prepare if we want to give gifts. We need to prepare if we're going to travel. God invites us to prepare our hearts through spiritual practices, and those involve both prayer and action. Prepare our hearts for Christ to be born in them once again. We are preparing for Christ to come, for God's kingdom to be known. The reality is, and we know this, that Christmas is coming whether we're ready or not. Life marches on, and God's hopes for our world move along. And in the ways of apocalyptic literature, we just heard from Jesus in the gospel that we need to prepare for God's action in our world and in our lives. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. As we begin our Advent, this holy season of waiting and preparing, this year we are being invited to turn the lens a little bit and consider what can't wait. Advent is the beginning of the new church year, and we're entering this story of God and Jesus in a way that is about beginnings and also endings. Jesus comes to us as a baby, and Jesus comes to us again, will come in what is known as the second coming. How do we think about all this in the context of what can't wait? And what do you think about that? The first coming, the second coming? So many people don't think they can be Christian because they don't believe certain things, like the virgin birth or the second coming. But as Rachel Held Evans describes in her book, Inspired, Slaying Giants, Walking on Water, and Loving the Bible Again, being Christian is not about believing the same things. It's about being caught up in the same story. We are caught up in the same story. And as we begin this church year, it's this amazing story of Jesus coming. How does this inspire us? How does this fill our hearts with hope? Art, banners, poems, video, we're going to be using all this year from a group called Sanctified Art. I just love their name, right? Sanctified Art. Amen. About our focus on what can't wait, the program creators write, Advent is a season of waiting. But is idle waiting what God wants of us? In preparation for the coming Messiah, we wonder together, what things can't wait? What demands our immediate attention? What requires our work and preparation? What is it that God can't wait for? Is it our praise, reconciliation, proclamation? Is it the end of suffering, isolation, and fear? This Advent, we are invited to join in imagining, prioritizing, and preparing. We hear from the prophet Isaiah of God's vision for our world. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. We say this day with Isaiah that peace can't wait. How do we hope for peace and prepare for it when it seems so absent from our reality, with violence between people, gun violence, terrorism, wars, ever present unwanted visitors, and what we hope for as what would be normal, what is normal? Peace. Martin Luther King Jr., from an address he gave in Washington, D.C. in February 1968, just 2 months before his assassination, said, "We must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope." Even as we are disappointed, Dr. King says, don't lose hope. God says, don't lose hope. Because hope guides us and inspires us and calls us to action even when we might be disappointed in this moment. When we're connected with infinite hope, we're connecting with God's vision that we hear from Isaiah and from others, and we're connecting with God. Walter Brueggemann, in his commentary on this passage from Isaiah, encourages us to focus on God's vision as we act and hope, noting that the real world realities of the Hebrew people in Jerusalem gave them little reason to hope. He writes, "The city of Jerusalem in the time of Isaiah was marginal and a vulnerable operation. Jerusalem lived and flourished or suffered at the behest of the great powers." And don't we feel that way sometimes, like the great powers are weighing down on us and there's not much we can do? Brueggemann continues, "The poem is not an anticipation of triumph for Jerusalem's political religious establishment, but rather it's a focus on God that gives the hope." It's that that gives the hope, focusing on God, not what we can do. God's presence with the people is reason to hope. It's a circle, right? It's circular. We focus on God, we're able to hope, and then we're able to act. Thus, the poet's vision is profoundly a theological vision, fixed on God, offering an alternative economy and a dismantling of weapons of war. It is not enough to end spears and swords. There must at the same time be production of instruments of life, such as plowshares and pruning hooks. I find that really hopeful, a really hopeful thing to think about. We might not be able to end all the violence today, but we can create a pruning hook. We can create a plowshare. We can do something that builds up and plants, something that's going to grow. The production of instruments of life. We can be about that. We can't change what happens when a man decides, as happened the other day, to stab people on the London Bridge, for example. And even this morning, I wake up to read of another shooting, mass shooting in our country. There are many things we have no control over, but we do control some things, being able to make those instruments of life. We have control over how we choose to use our time and our energy and our resources. Hope urges us to be united with God in prayer and action, to be about all that speaks of peace, or at least one thing today. Peacemaking happens first in our own hearts. Have you noticed that? It's often the case in our own hearts, and then our immediate relationships, and then our city and beyond. When I think of our city and beyond, I always think of Pope Paul VI, what he said in 1972, "If you want peace, work for justice." Got an amen back there? Yeah, all right. So our churches are places of prayer. Everybody knows that, right, about churches. But does everybody know that our churches are also base camps for being about justice in the world? We know that when we stand up for what is right and fair and just, we are not alone. We have each other and God. What a team God has given us. When we have hope, we are living into the people God has created us to be in God's image. And remember, our God is both strong and vulnerable. It can feel vulnerable to hope when so much tells us to give up and accept what is. Don't be silly. Don't think that can change. It can feel vulnerable to hope. From our poem from Sarah R., found in your insert today, part of it, she writes, "Unfortunately for them, those who deny hope will never know vulnerability. For hope requires us to believe in a better day, even when this one is falling apart. Hope looks the 24-hour news cycle in the face. Hope looks our broken relationships in the face. Hope looks our low self-esteem in the face and declares at low tide that the water will return. Hope is exhaling, trusting your body will inhale again. Hope is watching the sunset and setting an alarm. Hope is planting seeds in the winter, assuming summer will come. We wait for the birth of Jesus, the one who came in great vulnerability, God's word of hope for our lives and our world. Such is the story we are invited into, that we can get caught up in." As we prayed during our candle lighting, "I can wait for a lot of things, but I cannot wait for hope. I cannot wait for hope because I want to live with hope today and every day. I want to roll up my sleeves and get to work, living, serving, giving, and transforming with the hope of a better day." And I'll conclude with our final prayer for the lighting. "May the light of our candle burning bright burn inside us this week, inspiring hope and action for God's promised day. Amen."